It is said in the New Testament that the cross of Christ is a scandal both to Jews and Gentiles, but it's not the first scandal. The first scandal of the gospel is the incarnation, the idea and the teaching that God in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, overshadowed a virgin and caused a man to be born with Mary as his mother, but not with any human man as his father, but God himself as his father, so that you had a man, Jesus, who was fully God and fully man. Now, this was a scandal in the ancient world, the very idea of it. It tends to be a scandal today, and pretty much for the same reason. It's the very concept that is scandalous. God, why would God do such a thing? It seems to be beneath him. And what is the necessity? For what purpose does it serve? But just like the cross, it continues to be a scandal until it becomes something that is a blessing. And it turns from being a scandal to being a blessing precisely when any person comes to realize how helpless they are and how helpless the human race is in its fallenness. When it comes to the conclusion that the entire Bible brings us to, which is that we are lost, we're condemned, we're slaves, we cannot change ourselves, we cannot help ourselves, we are helpless. At that point, we realize that that means there's no other normal person who can help us either, because like us, they have Adam's blood flowing in their veins. We need a man who is independent of Adam, but who is fully man, who is fully identified with us. And we need a man who is fully God, for that is the only way that you can have a man who is independent of the slavery and the fallenness of Adam. All of a sudden, the incarnation goes from being a scandal to this tremendous ray of light that came into a darkened world. It's interesting that there's so much of a temptation to stumble over this truth of the incarnation, that it was one of the first stumbling blocks and one of the first heresies of the Christian church in the early centuries. It's much easier to conceive of Jesus as being a divine being who appears to be a man. He's a divine being who appears to be a man. Or it's easy to conceive of him as being a man, a true man, who is so godly and so close to God that he appears to be divine. But to explain how he can be fully God and at the same time fully man, that is something that goes beyond our ability to explain. And that's what we always want to do. We want to be able to explain it in order to believe it. How can the Creator God, the Eternal One, the Infinite One, who exists outside of all creation, enter into the creation, become part of the creation, without ceasing to be the Creator God? How can Jesus, as God, be incapable of sinning, and yet, as man, be capable of being tempted? How do all these things work? Well, the Bible doesn't explain the how to us. It simply explains that it is true, and that is what we receive as true. The early creeds and confessions sought to protect these ministries, these mysteries, not to explain them, for we cannot. And as the early church wrestled with this, and you had some people who wanted to say, well, Jesus is divine and he appeared to be a man, or he's a fully man, he's really godly, so godly he appears to be divine, but he can't be both. What the church came to realize and what brought them back around to what the Bible actually teaches, that he's fully God and fully man, is the fact that if he is not fully God and if he's not fully man, he cannot save us. That's what they came to see. If he's not fully God, then he's one of us. He's just one of us like the rest of us, which means he can't do anything for us. No matter how good he is, he's one of us. He can't lift himself by his own bootstraps. On the other hand, if he's not fully man, he can't save the full man. He can only save us to the extent that he has become like us. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. Inasmuch as the children of God, have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, the Son of God, had to likewise share in the same. so that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In that he himself has suffered as a true man being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. If Jesus is not completely human, he can't completely save us. He can only save that part of us which he became. And so the Bible tells us he became fully human, exactly like us, except for sin. This is the great truth of Christ our Redeemer.